Welcome. We are a full enchilada today. An enchilada full of fullness. And unlike last week, where both Adam and I were deathly ill, I should be capable of speaking without being very nasally. I am joined by Michael Murphy, who is somehow allowed back in the country from his little trip to Canada. Shayna and Patrick are joining us. How are you guys doing? All of you. Every one of you.
I'm good.
I'm good.
It's good. There's really,
yeah, doing
real
good.
Excitement level right now in this group. I can just feel like this podcast is going to be not a positive podcast. So here's the deal. There are some things. The Rangers are, did we do it? We haven't done a podcast since we did a podcast right before the start of the year. So the Rangers are 1-3, which actually isn't the problem. I think I wrote this in the, my game. Is someone eating something? What are you eating?
I think that's the sound of my knitting needles.
Are you knitting while you're on the podcast?
Yes, I got new needles
God,
today.
Shayna.
The podcast is ruined. Shut it down. It's 8:02.
I think it's
my
cool.
God,
I think
Shayna.
It's fine. I didn't think this was like something you guys could hear.
If you can't stay focused, how can the listeners be expected to?
How do you knit? And I've tried to knit before. I can't even knit and breathe at the same time.
I don't watch what I knit. I normally do it during games, actually. It keeps my hands busy, except for when I change colors, I have to, like, watch it. But otherwise, like, I don't even watch what I'm doing.
What, do you think you're better than us? Is that what this is? With the goddamn
knitting
trick?
No, I just like
tell
to
him,
do
Joe.
The thing, and I just do it.
That's right. All right, well, outside of Shayna being incredibly rude, and I apologize for that. That is just, you know, the last time we had Shayna on the podcast, I'm going to say within, like, 30 minutes, Michael and I were ranking whales. So,
is it my job today to keep us on the
yes,
rails? Like,
Shayna,
Beth isn't here. I get a warning from the beginning.
Yes, you have a warning. You need to keep us on track, and you've already failed because it's 8:03, and we've barely spoken about hockey. We've talked about knitting more than we've talked about.
So the Rangers
hockey.
Are 1-3 this week.
Look at her. She's just getting us right on the horse. So what I was going to say, the Rangers are 1-3.
What's your favorite kind of horse?
Oh, God, horses are so majestic. I didn't even know there were really different kinds of horses, to be completely honest with you.
I thought it was just color.
Seabiscuit was good, right?
Seabiscuit was a great horse.
I like Clydesdales.
Clydesdales are good, yeah.
That's the only horse I can name. Oh, Mustang.
Mustang, yeah, because that's like a car. Horsepower and whatnot.
Vroom, vroom, you know what I mean?
Isn't that Mazda? Room, room?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Blue shirt. Or
you
know
blue shirt.
What else is like a horse?
Yeah.
The Rangers power play. Because that's the only positive thing happening with the team.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna stop you on that one there, Michael. I'm going to start this podcast off as positive as I can. And that's to say that, by the way, Shayna, you failed completely at keeping us on track. I'm just going to say that... The Rangers are 1-3. I truly think the Rangers could be 3-1 right now because just based off of their play and the fact that Varlamov and Hutton like found some type of sick demonic goaltending relic that allowed them to be ridiculously good. Not to say that the opening night against the Avalanche was a good hockey game from the Rangers, but you can make the argument the Rangers deserve to win that hockey game. And, I think you could definitely say the same thing about their effort against St. Louis. So technically, I could give a crap about the record, to be completely honest with you right now. That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is that it is game 4 of the season going into game 5 of the season. And we have already had 2 games where the lineup decisions were, I don't even know how to describe them.
Like bad works.
Bad works. Atrocious. like I'm just throwing out an arbitrary example. It would be like knitting on a podcast. I don't know, something like that. But I said I was going to be positive, so I'm going to continue to be positive for at least a minute. Mika Zibanejad is a man on fire, and I think that's a really good thing. Henrik Lundqvist's demise was once again ridiculously overstated. Go ahead.
About Mika. Did you guys see, like, the video of, like, they, like, interviewed him in the locker room or whatever, like, today?
No.
Or, like, yesterday, maybe? It was, like, a short interview where he was like, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to, like, contribute, whatever. Did he bleach his hair, or was it just the funny lighting? Or, like, okay, he did?
No, his hair was bleached, like, last year, and then I think this off season it was dark again. And then right before the season started, he bleached it.
Okay, yeah, because I was, like, really confused and, like, wasn't sure if my eyes were deceiving me, and it was, you know, it was tough. Sorry.
Maybe
that's just completely
irrelevant. Because it's worked, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, I'm fine with it.
He's a man on fire right now, especially on the power play.
And he looks sharp while he's on fire.
The power play looks great. By the way, I should say this. If you're 773 and you're on hold, because we have a full lineup, I can't put you on. It's just the way the Blog Talk Radio works. So I apologize. If you are hanging out to listen to the show, you're more than welcome to stay there. But just know that I can't take you. So I apologize. The power play, I think we need to get used to the fact that the Rangers are going to have a really good power play this year, which I don't think, emotionally prepared for. Am I done with positives yet? Oh, Buchnevich, Kreider. There's just a lot.
Oh, my
Nash.
God.
That whole line has been great. Nash, I'm really impressed with them, Zuccarello. Now I'm going to get to the negatives. I don't understand how we're here. I don't get it. It's friggin' October 12th, and Nick Holden and Steven Kampfer has played in as many games as Brendan Smith has. Something is wrong, and I don't know. I'm at a loss for words in a lot of respects to how that's even remotely possible. Michael, why don't you jump in here and say words?
Yeah, I have a pretty unique perspective because I was in Canada, and so I really didn't get to see any of the Rangers play. You know, I saw highlights and recaps, but I really didn't catch anything until the Blues game. And so I was in touch with you and Shayna and the rest of the, you know, Pat and the rest of the writing crew, and was just hearing these nightmares about Brendan Smith being scratched and, you know, games getting out of hand. And when I watched the Rangers against the Blues, you know, it didn't look too bad. The Rangers looked pretty solid, but it was very, very, I don't know what the right word is. It's a word I use too much, but it was vexing to see Kampfer not only in the lineup, but clearly not looking like an NHL defenseman in the lineup, and Brendan Smith and I forget how to say his name, but Justin Tash or Tash of the I think of the Daily News or the Post. He got a couple of quotes about Smith about being scratched, and you know, I don't know. You know, I've read a couple headlines that, you know, Vigneault is already resorting to playoff tricks to kind of wake up this lineup, but at what cost does this come at? I don't understand why we're already seeing Tony DeAngelo benched, even though I tweeted something out yesterday. Just his, you know, he couldn't be unluckier in terms of PDO. He has great possession numbers, and he had a couple mistakes, sure, but, you know, has Mark Stahl not had mistakes? Has Shattenkirk has had mistakes? McDonough's had mistakes. And it's this very weird, it would be one thing if it was completely objective. Like, if it was a level playing field, and it doesn't matter who you are, if you're McDonough or if you're Brendan Smith or if you're Nick Holden, you're all held accountable to, you know, you're all measured by the same stick. But that is not what goes on with the player evaluation and the night-to-night roster decisions. And I think that's what's so frustrating. And it's really been put under a spotlight here with Vigneault to start the season. I wrote in Canada a piece about, you know, how D'Angelo might get in trouble because of his discipline issues. And he might come out of the lineup now and then. Little did I know that, you know, he would be, you know, he got the hook, you know, he got the hook after, what, two games? You know, it's...
He
played three games, and Brendan Smith, who the Rangers, you know, everyone talked about Shattenkirk, but Smith, we're invested in Brendan Smith for 4 years at over $4 million a year. He's played two of the four games. What message is that sending? He had a rough period, and now we're scratching him for two games? It's bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre.
But this is the Vigneault way, unfortunately, that we continue to have this confusion. And I don't mean to take away an opportunity for you, Pat or Shayna to make a comment. So I'm just going to make this point quick because you mentioned something I wanted to. I said I wasn't going to cough, and I coughed. Adam said he had a great piece when he was discussing this during the game, which was if benching Smith is a new form of like this AV awareness, right? Of this, I'm going to start holding veterans accountable. That would be one thing. But if that was the case, there is no way that, say, Kampfer or Holden are going to be playing in two games in a row. Because the reality of the situation is both of them are not good defensemen. Kampfer is a replacement level defenseman at literally every at best he's a replacement level defenseman.
Like sub replacement level if we're being like brutally honest.
And we want to be brutally honest.
I'm just not high on the guy. He had some bad plays the other night, like some really bad plays.
Well, not to cut you off, the turnover that led to the Blues game-winning goal. If D'Angelo did that, he would have been on a plane. He actually would have been on a bus to the Swamp Rabbits. I don't even think that's the Rangers DHL affiliate anymore, but the Swamp Rabbits faster than
they are still.
Oh, they are good. Cause Swamp Rabbits is my favorite sporting name ever. And Kampfer he didn't miss a shift. And then at the end of the game, he was rewarded by being put on the top line. I don't care. Listen, if a hockey player is going to give you a better chance to win, that's one thing. If it's a tie, right, and you have Kampfer, who's not good defensively, and you have D'Angelo, who's not good defensively, you take the goddamn 21-year-old guy who may become a puck-moving defenseman that every team in the league wants. You weigh it out that way. So for him not to be playing is ridiculous. And Smith, I think, is a totally other concern. I'm not going to get into that yet. Shayna, you haven't spoken. You're probably knitting like crazy. What are your thoughts on all this?
I have a lot of thoughts on Steven Kampfer. I looked it up like a minute ago. I did not know he played 146 NHL games in his career since 2010-11. So I'm surprised at that at all because I have a hard time calling him an NHL-level defenseman. I would argue that you have more invested in Brendan Smith than you did in Kevin Shattenkirk, because let's not forget to get him. And we were all arguing, well, if you don't re-sign him, you just wasted two draft picks. You're no better than Sather. And, you know, you're risking the team's future for right now. So not only did they risk the future, they risked the right now. They extended him. And you're looking, you know, to have a puck moving blue line, which is great. Like, by all means, please do. But you do need someone to balance that out. And the person that you have that's the best as a shutdown defender that you don't see the offense from, and we all know he can do it because he's done it a lot earlier in his career, is Smith. So you want him to complement anyone else. And when you're having a problem, you need McDonough to stabilize his game, and you're saying Shattenkirk can't do it. Well, you have a perfect person to do it in Smith, who has experience playing with McDonough, even if he sets the game before you put him with McDonough, give it a shot. And he keeps McDonough on the left side, which should be the most important thing. And you look at it, if it's playoff time and you're trying to make a move for playoffs, I would understand if you're like, okay, we need to put Holden in. Even if it's D'Angelo, you get one game, or Smith, or anyone else, and you felt, I'm holding you accountable and I need to switch you, just like they did with Kevin Klein in the playoffs, that's fine. Holden's fine for that. Camper isn't. And you can't tell me he deserved to be on the top pair. You can't say he deserved to be on the second pair. He didn't deserve to be on the ice at all. It doesn't matter, like, any way you slice it. And it blows my mind that he, of all people, is who they went to. And then you scratch Smith specifically on the game that you're rolling seven defensemen. Little did we know one defenseman's not going to play at all. So you're going a player short, which is asinine in the first place. Something that got you eliminated against the Lightning. Like, I didn't forget about that one when he screwed up with that. But he goes back to that stupid tactic of all games. That's the one you're going to pull Smith for. Hold him accountable any other game. Put in the extra forward. Don't choose to go now with 11 forwards and six defensemen, one of who is total crap. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm not going to make fun of Shannon anymore because she scares me. So, by all means, if you want to knit or whatever it is you want to do, don't hurt me or Mike. Hurt
you know
Mike,
what,
Mike
Joe?
Be hurt.
I think we can say that Shayna knitted together quite the argument there.
Ah, oh, good one.
Oh.
That way to go.
Yeah,
that
I mean, we
that was a good
we
one.
Could say that.
Didn't you guys miss me when I was in Canada?
I missed you more than you could even fathom, my friend.
We're a mess without you.
We were. We weren't talking about whales, but, you know. Yeah, I don't see. And listen, can I also say that it's very alarming to hear a head coach make ridiculous decisions saying, quote, we're trying to win hockey games in the third game of the season? Something's wrong, right? These are not normal things. You don't hear comments like this. Other teams don't have this problem. I don't understand. How is that okay? Not that you're not trying to win hockey games, because you are trying to win hockey games. But the comment, we're just trying to win some hockey games, insinuates that, oh shit, my job is on the line and I don't know what's happening, so I'm just going to make decisions. I speculated maybe Vigneault is coaching for his job, and a couple of beat reporters took offense to that for whatever reason. But the reality of the situation is nobody speaks like that. And by the way, before I let you jump in, Mike, and then Pat, you can jump in after that. If you are trying to win hockey games and you're playing Kampfer and Holden over Smith and D'Angelo, you're not doing it right. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to your point about, you know, he's kind of coaching for his job to some extent. This isn't like the playoffs are in November and the Rangers have to figure their shit out. This is, you know, yeah, they're stumbling out of the starting block like plenty of teams are. I mean, you know, the Predators aren't off to a great start. You know, who the hell thought the Devils would be the only team in the Eastern Conference that, you know, has yet to lose a game. But that's what happens when we have, you know, two or three or four game sample sizes. And, you know, some teams like the Devils looked like a great offensive team in the preseason, but hey, it's the preseason. You know, it's just like Hedl looking fantastic against, you know, the Islanders B team in preseason. Then, you know, we see him get sent down, but you know, it just so happens that the Devils' offense has kind of kept rolling, but they also have a couple guys shooting above 50%. And right now, you know, I don't think John Hines, who's the coach of the Devils, is saying like, yeah, we better start booking our tickets to, the playoffs here. You know, we're a playoff team. That's not just like Vigneault shouldn't be saying, you know, there are big problems here we need to address now. It's a long, long season. There's, you know, nearly 80 games left to play. There's plenty of time to figure this out. And, benching someone like Smith and putting someone, in all honesty, I raised an eyebrow at Camphor getting the extension he got. Didn't he get like a 2-year extension last season where,
he did.
You know, it was just, yeah, it's just like, oh, he must be that character guy for the Wolfpack that, you know, you just want that veteran there to wear a letter on his jersey, to be the guy who, you know, all the young guys can look to and say, oh, you know, he's 29 years old. He's been around the block, yada, yada, yada. You know, he's a veteran, you know, the sage veteran voice that'll be in the locker room to help the kids develop. But who the hell thought he'd still be here, let alone taking ice time and games away from guys like D'Angelo and Smith? And I couldn't think of, like, unless outside of injuries, there's no reason for a guy like Camper to be in the lineup, especially at the expense of D'Angelo, who's better than him already, and Smith, who's frankly in a different tier of defensemen. Brendan Smith is a second pairing NHL defenseman that can play both sides. Brady Shea had a couple of rough games. Brendan Smith had, you know, he didn't look great, but you know, it's a couple rough games. We've seen a ton of hockey from Brendan Smith, even specifically in a Rangers jersey where he looks great. This is just, it's going to pass. But the problem is, I'm one of the people who I don't necessarily believe that it'll pass if, you know, you give him a wake up call, you know, publicly humiliate him, you know, put him in a suit to watch the games after giving him that big contract extension. I think that's close to a toxic thing to do to a player. Granted, I'm not a coach and I don't know anything about, you know, what goes on in the locker room and all that, but it just, it really baffles me that already Vigneault has decided to kind of shake things up and risk, you know, screwing up the team harmony and everything and the team structure after, you know, the freaking emotional journey to Lake Placid after the preseason and all this nonsense. You know, I don't get it, but I guess I'll let Pat hop in here so I stop rambling.
Oh, no, I was just laughing at the emotional journey to Lake Placid, dude. Okay, so I have an actual thought, aside from the team-building exercise was ridiculous and great, which it was. Just for the record,
they listen to
real talk. Zuccarello into the air. You have to do it.
Yeah, for a
I mean,
tire
yeah, it's just
that's great. That'll win hockey.
The content
games.
Was so good, but as far as so building off of what Mike said, I really think this is like apparently somewhat controversial amongst people I've talked to, and amongst folks on the internet. But I really don't think you can tell pretty much anything about a hockey team that you didn't know before game one, after game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, I don't think, like, you know what I mean? Like, we knew going into game one that we needed a center, and we still know that, and that's about it. Like, you know, you can learn small tidbits about, like, oh, this guy's, like, you know, made a step forward, like Buchnevich, like, he's clearly like more poised on the puck and like he's like playing better two ways, whatever. So you can say like, I think he's going to have a better year this year. I think he's ready for, you know, big minutes potentially, whatever. But as far as like the team overall, I don't think you can say like the defense is playing well or the defense is playing poorly because it's been four games. You're right. It's been 5 games for some other teams. But yeah, like, I don't think you can tell pretty much any, like, and so for Vigneault to go and say like, oh, I have to change up the defense pairings because obviously something's awry with this defense. I don't know if you could really say that. And I would hope as a coach, you would be a little bit more even keeled and a little bit more kind of agnostic in a sense and say, I don't know what this team is yet. We have to find out. Let's play the best possible lineup and see if we find out. right? But instead he decides, you know, Brendan Smith isn't good. Brady Shea needs to get less ice time than Holden and Camper. Like, just crazy, crazy things that are just reactionary decisions that, I don't know. I mean, I think Joe was onto something perhaps in the sense that even if he's not playing for his job, I think he thinks he's playing for his job. You know, as far as, you know, we're trying to win hockey games here. Like, yeah, dude, everyone's trying to win hockey games here. Like,
it's the NHL. End of the season. It's not, and that's, you don't make comments like that. It's just bizarre. And it's normal. It's the same thing where he was like, you know, I love Hank, but I love the team more last year. You just don't make comments like that. They're not.
It's just crazy.
And I don't want to get into, you know, a war of the words here, but this, let me put it to you this way. I'm going to say 5 years ago, if Mignot was the coach, I think the media had a lot more teeth, and maybe it was because there was a different group out there than there are right now. Maybe it was because there was a universal disdain or distaste for John Tortorella. I'm sure it's actually somewhere in the middle, but Larry Brooks used to destroy John Tortorella for his lack of usage when it came to Chris Kreider. And I know that they have a history, so maybe that's part of it. But there is no way that John Tortorella gets away with not playing Hedl and just kind of being like, well, you know, we're just going to send him back. And look, we're going to talk about that maybe if we have time. It's ultimately a good thing for Hedl to go somewhere where he's actually going to, you know, play hockey games. But I look at this team and I try to – you can't get information out of them anymore. It's not possible. You can't follow. Let me just explain. Let me just give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And I've mentioned this before, that one of the most frustrating things about Mignot is there's no like logical path. There's no, okay, he's at A, he thinks B, he does C. It's he thinks A, he does pineapple because of orange. Holden was pretty much benched against the St. Louis Blues in the third period. Kampfer, for whatever reason, got promoted to the top pair, and Holden played, I think, 11 minutes in the whole game and didn't play at all in the third period. Today, Holden was moved up to the top pair with Ryan McDonagh. Not that, listen, if between Holden and Kampfer, Holden should be the guy who's playing there. Neither of them should be, but if you're going to have to pick one of them, you would, of course, pick Holden. But how does that make sense? And if you are trying to win hockey games, at what point do you sit there and say, well, wait a minute, didn't you just not think highly enough of him to play in a crunch time moment against the Blues, and yet here you are giving him top-line minutes against, I don't even know who the Rangers are playing tomorrow. Who are the Rangers playing tomorrow?
Columbus.
Columbus.
Oh, good. So
Columbus,
you're talking
and the
about
Devils
a team
on
that,
Saturday.
That does have a legitimate firepower offense. I don't understand, and I can't figure out the logic, and that it irks me because I want to understand where he's coming from, and you're not going to get it from the media,
I mean,
like or not, and you just have to sit there and guess. Someone was saying something.
So I think he maybe thinks like, oh, like he played poorly the other night, maybe he'll play well tonight. Like, you know, like maybe he's too agnostic in the sense that like he thinks like, oh, I just can't know if Nick Holden is going to be good tonight or not. You know, like there's no way to tell, but like there is a way to tell.
He may legitimately be coaching that way. A lot of coaches do that type of, oh, you know, he had a rough night, but he's a guy, you know. And listen, Vigneault did that the right way with Lundqvist. Lundqvist got shelled against Toronto. It was not his fault. He was supposed to start Pavlik, and he said, you know what, there's no way Hank is going to play that poorly again. That's an example of a smart adjustment from him. That is absolutely the way you handle that situation, exactly how you handle that situation. But then you turn around and he goes, well, you know, we're just going to throw Holden up there because there's no way he could play that bad again. I don't get it. The issues with Vigneault, because for whatever reason, the media is really defending him pretty hard. There are people who think he deserves a fresh start every year, which is insane. You know, that would be like someone going to jail and then they commit the exact same crime the next year. And the judge is like, well, we can't look at you as a repeat offender. You get a clean start every year. So whatever. If this is the same thing that happened last year, and it is different players, but it's the same thing. And that was why the Rangers lost against Ottawa. Don't you think eyebrows should be raised somewhere along the line? Like, hey, didn't we do this already? Didn't we dance this dance already? And again, it's with the defense. I mean, thank God Girardi's not here because I can't even imagine what it would be like. It would be just as bad. It would have to be. Who wants to? Does someone want to say words? I've said a lot of words.
Yeah, I have words.
Shanna has words.
Two things. If Lundqvist sucked this season, Lundqvist walked in and he looked exactly how he looked against Ottawa because, you know, he did struggle more against Ottawa than Montreal. There's no secret to it. He walked in, everyone would be shitting on him immediately. It would be like, Lundqvist, you're washed up, you're 35 years old, you can't play, blah, 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 and everyone would give him a hard time. If Stepan was still on this team and he had a drought coming in and it was a continuation of the playoffs, why do we keep a blah, blah, blah? And it would go on and on and on and on. But I understand you can't grade a team after, you know, four games. And I completely and totally agree. That's why you need to take the small things and build on them. Vigneault's doing exactly what he did last year. It's a complete and total continuation. It's not like a little bit. It's as bad as it gets when you think Stephen Kampfer belongs at the NHL level at all, but in your top six, on your top pair. It's indefensible at this point, and it's such a continuation from last year. So no, we're not grading him on the four things he's done this year, the four games this year. It's a continuation from, what is it, 3 years and four games that it's like, are you kidding me? Like, you've had two chances at Stanley Cups. You've had two golden opportunities because you had generational goaltenders. You had Roberto Luongo, and you screwed it up. You had Lundqvist, and you screwed it up. And then the year after with Lundqvist, you could have gone back. And what did you do in Game 7? You decided to go with seven defensemen, use Tanner Glass over James Shepherd. I'm really not over this one still. But you screwed up. It's at a certain point where you go, I get it, you have the NHL resume, but you keep screwing up that I can't look at you with a clean slate and be like, it's okay. You'll do better the next game. And also, his pregame interview before St. Louis, they asked him why he was putting Holden and Kampfer in there. He said he has eight NHL defensemen that he's letting compete for spots. And when Smith and D'Angelo get back in the lineup, whenever that may be, that they have to fight for those spots. If you make the argument he said that about D'Angelo, I keep my mouth shut because I can't be like, well, we lost Stepan for you forever, but we lost Stepan for you. But with Smith, I'm going to say it. This is top four defenseman. It'll be there forever.
True,
I'm not over it. I'll never be over it. Whatever.
True.
She's
on fire right now. This is amazing.
I just, like, there's only so much you can say, and you don't want to, like, you know, everything on Twitter, you could say it in so many characters, and it's like, oh, well, fire AV. Like, it's not that clear and simple. But if this was Lundqvist, you would be talking shit all day about how he's too old, he shouldn't be in the crease, we screwed up with Ronto, we screwed up with Talbot. We already saw those articles before the season even started. Why are they not being held to the same, like, why is Vigneault not being held to the same standard?
And here's the other thing, and Michael Silvers just brought this up in the chat room. If AV is experimenting this wildly, why didn't you give Hedl more than two games? And why, in the two games that you did give Hedl, did you give him like 33 seconds?
How long it takes to grade talent. Duh.
It will. You, Jesus, Shayna.
Good
I'm
God.
Telling you right now, gold medal. All right. I take it back.
Do I still get what was it?
What
the Yankee
want.
Candle or whatever? The Yankee candle you, carved with my Calder.
Yes, I'm looking.
Is
there's a
the
half burned Yankee candle right here. It is the name of it is. Oh, I can't read it from here. It's cranberry something. Cranberry something.
Ooh.
It is half burned. It is yours. It is now cranberry Shayna.
Just carve it into a Calder, and I accept.
All right, it's yours. I agree with you. How is this okay? And not necessarily because I expect more, because I really don't expect more out of what, again, I'm not trying to start anything here, but a media group that really is not willing to, I guess, question authority. And I don't think that's an unfair thing to say at this point. What happens? Vigneault doesn't have to answer for any of these decisions. I think that's a problem. Because I do think if the media consistently just crushed these awful decisions, there would be a little bit more hesitation for him to do this nonsense. I really do believe that. But he makes their job easier because he's not a total asshole like Tortorella was. And they just sit there and they say, all right, we're just going to let it go. Because you can't pick and choose, and Vigneault picks and chooses. See, I'm getting a goddamn, there's a solicitor calling me right now, and my phone is trying to tell me who it is, and I can't get over there, so just listen to the phone ring. This is a professional podcast, patreon.com/blueshirtpanther.
You
can't pick and choose. You can't sit there and say, D'Angelo's got to earn his job, and I need Smith to think that he has to earn his job, and then turn around and say to Hedl, hey, listen, you're never going to play. I mean, Hedl begged them to let him stay in Hartford, which I think was a really, really big move on his behalf, because he wants to play in the NHL this year. I want that guy in my lineup. See what you have in him. What's the downside? There is no downside. There's literally no downside to seeing what Hedl is. But that's apparently too much of a risk to take. So instead, we're just going to sit here and we're going to throw him to the minors. I don't like it. I really don't like it. I don't like the way that this whole thing is gone. Michael, you want to say words?
Well, yeah, I think there's two things I want to bring up, and it's really just kind of adding more, more dirt on the compost pile we have here. But, you know, before the season began, Vigneault was saying, compost. Canadians are big on compost, by the way. It's a big deal up there.
I heard my best friend had like a compost pile, and it was really disgusting, but I don't even know what they ended up, if they ever used it or not, but he had one.
Well,
this is what happens when
lovely
give Shayna free reign because we're all afraid of her.
Yeah, be afraid. I'm so
threatening
me and my knitting.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure everyone remembers Vigneault's comments that, Mark Stahl for the first time really had to, earn his ice time, compete for his spot, and his, all that, and we heard all that, but, Mark Stahl had, I would call it, an incidental offensive savant game where he picked up a couple points, he scored a goal, and for whatever reason that excuses his shortcomings. But, and moving into the season, his stock was nowhere near Brendan Smith's stock. But he's not the one who gets scratched to shake things up. And the other thing I wanted to add is, and specifically related to Hedl, is you can have this guy in the lineup for 9 games and you can learn so much about him in those 9 games. And teams all over the league use these first few weeks to really kind of figure out where a lot of these young players are. It doesn't matter if they're, teams like the Blackhawks, and they're doing that with, DeBrincat, teams like the Oilers who have a lot of kids in the lineup and they're trying to see whether or not they're ready. You use this time of the year to kind of feel out what your lineup is, but that doesn't mean saying, Brendan Smith, we just signed you to this big extension. We think the best thing right now is to give our journeyman AHL defenseman, in over 2 games, over 17 minutes a night, when Smith in 2 games averaged, 15 and a half minutes. That's just utter madness. And the thing that really kind of gets to me about this, and I know I'm just, hitting a nail that we've already driven through the board here, but the other thing that gets to me about this is the lack of consistency with who Vigneault chooses to hold accountable, you know, how he's measuring performance. You know, why is D'Angelo not in the lineup? We know Smith is back in the lineup against Columbus tomorrow, but we also know that D'Angelo is still scratched. What does a 21-year-old defenseman have to do to get back in this lineup that can skate and move the puck like this kid can? The Rangers don't need that in the lineup. They need Nick Holden. They need Camper. Even Vigneault's system likes puck-moving defensemen. What the hell does Camper or Nick Holden have to do with that? Neither of them fit into that system. I mean, Holden's not, you know, shy about jumping up in the offense, but pairing Kevin Shattenkirk with Mark Stahl is not the solution to this team's problems. That's not going to fix things. I really would like to see the media get a little more aggressive about, you know, instead of just saying things like, oh, he's resorting. You know, we saw Larry Brooks do it a bit with, you know, calling Vigneault out for resorting to playoff tricks already. But why is this just a free pass for him that, you know, he can take this roster that Gorton hands him and then just kind of throw it to the wind and let the, you know, let everything kind of let the pieces fall where they may. I really don't get this coach. I think it would be a good idea for us to get into Cracknell, but I know Pat had something to say.
Oh, okay. So I guess I just had a question for y'all. Do you think, given, so Mike, you mentioned that Gorton basically gave him like a roster that like one would think you could hardly screw up. And Shana talked about the importance of Brendan Smith in terms of the cost to acquire him and the extension. And also, I guess, given Hedl and the way he's, you know, asked to play in North America and then they sent him to the AHL. Do you think there's a disconnect between Gorton and AV in a way? Like, do you think there's any – I mean, obviously all this is speculative – but I would have to imagine that Gorton on some level is not super stoked. Right?
So
my short answer is yes.
I wrote about that today and I'm going to give
Oh, I didn't catch you. I was doing stuff today.
I'm going to give you a crazy answer.
Okay.
So what I wrote about, Pat, was exactly what you asked. Because the Rangers trade Carl Hagelin for one NHL asset in Emerson Edom. Jason Megna gets more power play time in one game than Edom got in all of his games in New York combined. The New York Rangers trade everything for Keith Yandle. Keith Yandle gets played like a third-pairing defenseman and gets less power play time than he's ever gotten in his career. Jeff Gorton trades Derek Stepan, as Shana said, forever for one NHL asset in Anthony DeAngelo, and he is not being used at all at this point. What that tells a normal person is there is a disconnect. But I'm going to throw this a different way. What if there isn't a disconnect? What if Gorton is okay with this? Because at this stage in the game, you would have to assume that he would have stepped in by now, right? Hey, what are you doing? Unless there is something happening with Brendan Smith behind the scenes that we don't know about, and in truth, there's no way to prove that one way or another unless AV says something, there's no reason for him to sit two games. Unless something is going on with Tony DeAngelo behind the scenes, and again, he's had issues off the ice before, and we don't know about it. There is no reason for him to be sitting. Is it possible that both of them have off the ice issues? I doubt it. But there is no reason for both of them to be sitting. And this game of, well, Gorton does X and the Rangers do Y, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't make sense. So I agree with you, Pat, that I think I see a clear division between where Gordon expects the team to be and where AV's brought the team. But Gordon gave AV a 2-year extension last season. Gordon does not seem to have a crazy issue with what's going on with this defense right now, because it wouldn't be happening. And Lindy Ruff was an AV approved hire. And Lindy Ruff would be just as bad as Vigneault would be behind the bench. So I don't think there's a way to accurately answer your question. I don't think it's a bad question. In fact, I think it is the million-dollar question. This is literally going to be the, are the Rangers going to move in the right direction to win a Stanley Cup, or are they screwed forever question? Because there's no other way to look at it. There really isn't. I'm no longer convinced that Gordon isn't an accomplice to this, because too much has happened. He would have had to step in. There's no way. There's no way these, and that's what I wrote about today too. There's no way that these conversations don't happen. None. Shana, do you have an answer to this question?
Yeah. I think last year in the playoffs, when Vigneault was making really dumb decisions the entire time, you would hear him like, oh, well, I'm speaking to Jeff about it. And a lot of the decisions that were bad were like, you know, Girardi playing a lot of minutes, Smith not playing a lot of minutes, Glass being in, Buchnevich being out. And you already saw those changes, and those changes came from Vigneault. Buchnevich is in. I don't know if he said he's staying because if not, we're going to lose him. You're playing him. But it's also like he's been so good that, you know, you don't have that issue. Smith got extended. He got extended, and Gordon went to the media and said, Shea is your second, you know, Shea is on the left behind McDonough as your top four, and Smith and Shattenkirk complimented. He came out and said, this is our top four this summer. He made it clear Mark Stahl is going to be on the third pair, and then everyone else is battling it out, really. So he did the right thing in every which way. You know, Girardi was a problem. He was going to keep playing on the top pair. Let's buy him out. Tanner Glass, we can't keep in the lineup because, you know, next thing you know, he's going to be on the first line. Like, we don't know. We got to get rid of him. He's not totally in agreement. I also think that maybe he looked at it and he went, you know, this is such a well-respected coach and he's done so well before and we've had shitty starts before. Let's put the brakes on it. Let's see what he does. I'm going to give you a chance. But, like, pull it together. And at some point in the near future, if it continues, he will. I don't know if he's on the same page, though. And he still has a boss to answer to. And that's a big difference between him and Sather. Sather was the president and the general manager, and he really didn't have to answer to anybody. Gordon still has to answer to Sather, and if he's not getting the right results, then Sather can step in at any time and say, even if he agrees, you know, oh, I like Dan Girardi or whatever, like, sure, I'm sure you did, it was your contract, or those types of things, he can still step in and say, you're not getting me the results, you're fired. So at a certain point, I can't think that Gordon's in agreement with this, and I have to think he's going to agree to do things for the better, but I guess we won't know until we find out. I
just want to say that's an amazing point that I didn't think of. I'm giving you props on this one. That Gordon does have an overlord to answer to. I never thought about that. Honestly, not once. That Glenn
Sather worked
in sort of
this. That's why I don't know if Vigneault has as much of a leash this year.
Right. He worked with like this fantasy. And honestly, it's kind of a good thing to work, to operate that way, because A, you never want a dictator like Phil Jackson in New York, for example, if you're a Knicks fan, which I am not, but I'm assuming that I'm accurate in that analogy. But when Glenn Sather had to answer to no one, he could do whatever the hell he wanted. He didn't give a shit. If a coach is not doing well, and a general manager thinks that their job is in jeopardy, they will fire said coach. When Glenn Sather knows there is a safety net under him at all times, why is he going to get his hands dirty if he doesn't have to? And I think that's an enormous, that's a great point, Shana. It really is. There absolutely is a standard deviation where Gordon can sit there and say, I might lose my job, so I'm not doing this. Vigneault, you need to figure this shit out, and we haven't gotten there yet, and who knows if we're going to get there at all, but that is a variable that I didn't think of, and it's a really good point.
And also, it looks bad.
It's a really good point.
It looks worse for him, if for anybody. He did all of this to the team. He got him D'Angelo. He got rid of the, you know, he created a hole here. He did all this stuff. If he did all of it for it to not work out, especially because it's not being used, it looks so bad for him. As much as it looks bad for Vigneault because it's like, wow, you're really making bad decisions, it looks terrible for Gorton because it's like, one, you have no authority. You got to change that. Why am I paying these people if they're not, you know, it's going to look bad on him more than anything at a certain point. So I got to think something's going to change, and it's going to be because of Gorton.
Mike, your thoughts on this?
I think you really don't need me on the podcast anymore. Just let Shayna talk. That's what I'm starting to think.
I don't know. Shayna's fired up for some reason. Are you okay, Shayna?
You took the
good.
Knitting
I
needles
really
away
don't
from her.
I'm still
knitting.
This entire time.
She is knitting. I knew she was knitting.
I got a lot done, actually. I'm very
pleased
with it. I
could feel the anger knitting. Shayna, by the way, has an Etsy. You have it on Etsy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can buy, she knits scarves, hockey scarves. What is it? Tell the people.
Mm-hmm. It's Etsy.com/shop, and it's sew and knots, but the sew is S-E-W, like, you know, you're sewing craftsy.
Sew and knots.
It doesn't make sense for knitting, but yeah.
She knits things. They're actually really pretty.
And there's bracelets. And there's tie-dye.
Just go buy her shit, because obviously she's mentally deranged right now with some anger, and she's going to kill you if you don't. That's the
sales
pitch.
I feel like I have really restrained myself. Like, when everyone's talking on Twitter about, like, oh, my God, Vigneault, fire Vigneault. Like, I've restrained myself so much because I'm like, okay, I don't want to say something, and then it's going to look terrible in a day, or, you know, like, I'm going to give it a chance. And it's like, you watch this stuff and you put out these lineups and it's like, oh my God, this is such crap. Like, I just want to sit here and watch a hockey game and enjoy myself and then write about it. And it's like, I'm not doing that. And it's a continuation of last year. And I don't like that. We were so excited for hockey and look what we got.
I was going to tell you, I did not expect to be this upset this early in the year, because one of the enormous, I thought, advantages of this lineup was Vigneault can't screw it up. And that was my mistake. I was a fool. I was a fool for believing that, because I really did think everything, you know what, Jeff, you took all the toys out of his hand. This is exactly what we should be doing. You know, we got the right players in here. We're going to make this happen. And the next thing you know, here we are again, wondering what is it that's happening? Because I really don't, know. Like I said, I cannot follow that path of logic. And that upsets me. It annoys me because Tortorella, at least he explained it to you. You're an idiot for thinking that because XYZ. I'm playing him. You could figure out what he was thinking. The only thing I can think of when I listen to AV say things like that, today, he made a comment today where he said one of the reasons why he's I think the reason why Holden was on the top pair was because he's trying to figure out what his top shutdown pair is. That you're not in the right place. Whatever magical woman or like wizard you spoke to said to you, oh, this is what you're going to do. She's wrong. He's wrong. I don't know what it is. Holden is not, you know, Holden doesn't work there. You saw it last year. This is the problem with this ideology of, oh,
to you.
Right. It's this ideology of, oh, you have to give AV a fresh start. You don't, because we did this last year.
Yeah.
I could have told you and did tell you that D'Angelo was going to push AV's buttons to the point where he wasn't going to play. I didn't guess that. I'm not some psychic. I've seen this happen before 1,000 times. It's just different players. Pat, I've been cutting you off. Did you have something you wanted to say?
Oh, no. I just said that was Patrick Waugh's best defenseman, Nick Holden.
It was. And you know what?
I think that may be like the reason why he's...
I agree with what you're going to say. I think that is a big part of why Holden is what he is on this team. Because Vigneault was like,
totally.
Oh, Patrick Waugh thinks he's good. God damn, I got to get him on the ice as much as I can.
He's a fourth or fifth defenseman. I think that's all he said. He's like a fourth or fifth
defenseman.
He didn't say, like, I don't think he was like, oh, he's a stud. He was like, he's a solid fourth or fifth pairing defenseman. And Vigneault was like, you know what? Top pair defenseman McDonough. Let's do it, like, to start the year. And it was like, he did not tell you to do that.
I think McDonough is contractually obligated to play with bad defensemen. It's just his contract. His agent didn't read it good enough, well enough. Patrick, how would you answer your own question?
How would I answer my own question? You know, I'm torn because on one level I think, like, there's no way that Gordon isn't sitting up in his office thinking, like, maybe it's time to think about getting rid of this guy if he keeps doing stupid crap. But at the same time, like you said, Gordon has kind of, like, he's been along for the ride on all of these things. You know, like, it is his responsibility as well, and he certainly hasn't come out. I mean, he did kind of come out and say, we need a little bit more speed, we need a little bit more puck movement, like, defense is an issue. Like, that was something he said. So, you know, you give him a little bit of credit, and you think maybe this guy's got his head screwed on straight. But, yeah, I'm torn between – it was funny when you said, what if Jeff Gordon does agree with all the things Vigneault does? Like, I got that feeling, like, you know, when Luke Skywalker finds out that Darth Vader is his dad, and he's like, no! Like that. But –
like when you see little kids find
like
out
that's how it makes me feel.
They just instantly panic.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
exactly,
yeah. Like,
that's the feeling. It's like the sickening, oh my God, what
yeah,
is happening?
Like, I don't want to accept this as true. But it could totally be true that Jeff Gordon and Vigneault are on the same page and, like, we're cooked. Like, our Stanley Cup hopes are donezo.
Well,
I don't know. I really don't know how to answer it.
And I don't think that's a ridiculous statement to make. If we're at the point now where he legitimately believes that Holden and Kampf are better options than Smith and D'Angelo, and we're sitting here and we're thinking, well, you know, this is the way things are going to look, and we're trying to win hockey games, and oh, we lost game one of the playoffs with this optimal lineup, so here we go. We're going back to Holden. You know, the Rangers are not going to – they're not getting anywhere. You can – I've gotten into this argument with people before. I understand that Vigneault has an unbelievable regular season resume. I understand that Vigneault is a coach who deserves respect. I don't think Elaine Vigneault is a bad hockey coach. I really don't think he is. What I think Vigneault's flaws are – is that he doesn't adjust, and he's awful at talent evaluation. And
no,
in a pinch,
no self-awareness.
He will always, always, always choose a veteran that he trusts over a kid that's better or a person that's better. Smith has kind of thrown the youth bias out the window because Smith isn't a kid. He's 28 years old. He's not a kid. So this is not a matter of Smith being youth. This is a matter of he likes Holden more and he likes Kampfer more. And we saw that by the fact that the Rangers weren't willing to waive Kampfer because they thought he was going to get taken. Who gives a crap? Who cares?
Right, like that's a pretty big indictment of Jeff Gordon right there. Like,
But I don't even know if it's an indictment of just Jeff Gordon. I think it's an indictment of the fact that Gordon and Vigneault are on the same page about some of this. Because
right.
There's no way that AV would be like, well, you know, I'd hate to lose him. That Gordon wouldn't say, well, I actually don't care at all, so we're going to waive him.
Right.
That's Gordon's job. That is Gordon's job.
Yeah.
If you're sitting in your computer and you're a general manager and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know what we're going to do if we lose Steven Kampfer to waivers, you've done something wrong. You screwed up somehow. I don't know what to tell you, but it's bad. Whatever you did was wrong, and you're going to have serious repercussions down the line. And that's exactly where the Rangers are right now. There's a reason
he was
here.
They keep talking about showcasing. Sorry.
Well,
yeah,
I'm glad
talking,
you said
they,
that because that is the –
you're not showcasing Kampfer.
Right. That is the quote-unquote, like,
you don't
well,
think
how
so?
Do you know they're not showcasing him? No, they're not. They're not.
Holden,
they're not.
Maybe.
We've been down this road before. They are not showcasing Holden and Kampfer. That is not – I would love to be wrong about this, but I'm not wrong. They're not showcasing them.
I would
I'm
love
sorry.
It, too. I mean, like, there are teams looking for defensemen, and it's like, you know, Vegas, they're trying to play hardball when they have, like, you know, a ton of crappy defensemen that they're ready to trade. But it's like, hey, here's our crappy defenseman, and he'll score you points, and, you know, he can take minutes. Here's Nick Holden, and he's really not a bad option for someone that needs a bottom six defenseman. But if you're going to use that excuse on Holden, I'm like, sure, it holds water. But Camper, are you kidding me? No, you're not. You're not showcasing Camper. You're showcasing him for yourself because you seem to like him as a defenseman, even though no one else does.
Mike, I apologize that I betrayed you. I X'd out of the chat and didn't even look at it.
Mike has a lot of things to say.
Yeah, Mike, what do you have to say?
Oh, I had a pun, but it's so late now, it doesn't even matter.
I want to hear it anyway.
You hear it?
Because, this is going to go over great. So, Shayna, you could have named your Etsy shop Knitwit. Get it? K-N-I-T.
I didn't know how to
anyway,
knit when I started the shop.
Wait a minute. I thought that was clever.
I thought it was good.
If only I knew how to knit then. I don't think I could change it now, though. So I'm stuck with the whatever name I have.
Yeah, do me a favor and knit me a noose. Anyway, I have
this got dark.
Two points to raise. Adam wrote a very good article about how, you know, the Rangers' real problem, it's kind of the big part that frustrates me about this is that this is kind of a problem that Vigneault has created. When moving into the season, you know, we've used a lot of language like, you know, Gorton gave him a team that he couldn't mess up, or Gorton gave him this team, you know, as it is. And the Rangers team on paper has flaws. And so we don't really need Vigneault gumming up the works and making things worse by, you know, haphazardly just, you know, throwing wrenches into things and deciding that Steven Camphor needs to be in the lineup. But, you know, getting Adam Cracknell on waivers does not solve the Rangers, you know, problem down the middle in no way, shape, or form. I think there's a real issue there with, you know, that's the problem that this team has. That's what Vigneault should be spending his energy on. And, you know, we heard him recently say that he likes Miller more on the wing after, you know, saying a lot of things that weren't that. And he also believes that Miller is more comfortable there. But we also have this issue now of, you know, between now and the next time we podcast, the Rangers have games against Columbus, New Jersey, and Pittsburgh. And the Columbus and New Jersey is back-to-back. And that's three divisional games. And yes, it's October. And no, we shouldn't get too crazy about what happens in October. And we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, you can make mistakes and feel things out and figure things out in the beginning of the season. But there is something significant about this Rangers October because they have what I think it's 10 home games in October. And you can't, you know, growing pains are all well and good, but the Rangers can't really afford to just, you know, be a, you know, a garbage fire through the entire month. And to me, that doesn't speak to, oh, Vigneault is right for, you know, rattling the cage and, you know, trying to get people, you know, get people going. And, you know, he's under the impression he has 8 NHL defensemen. So trust him, trust the system. To me, this is much more, you know, this is a coach creating problems for himself. There's no need to play this game, you know, of musical chairs with Camphor and Holden and D'Angelo. I understand to some extent, you know, kind of wavering between Holden and D'Angelo, much like we saw him kind of waver between Klein and Holden, you know, where every once in a while he couldn't help himself. He wanted to mix things up, you know, plug in this guy or that guy. And for whatever reason, he's convinced that Holden can play both sides. But, you know, the Devils are red hot right now, even though I think they're a paper tiger. The Blue Jackets are not a joke. And the Penguins are the Penguins. I mean, they're not who they were in the playoffs last year, but it's still Pittsburgh. You know, it's a team that can humiliate you if you make mistakes with your defensive pairings. Vigneault has kind of chosen to put himself under a magnifying glass here. And I'm really not convinced it's going to work out for him, as even with you know, all the trust that Gorton may or may not have in him, and the media maybe or maybe not taking it easy on him, because it's very easy to point to Henrik Lundqvist's age and say this is the reason why the Rangers are allowing so many goals. But it's at some point, this all has to fall on the coach's head. He has a lot of the tools here to make this work, and he's choosing not to use the right tools for the job. You know, he's looking at a screw and picking up a hammer. He needs to figure this out, and I think that, you know, Joe alluded to, you know, some members of the media, you know, kind of rolling their eyes at the idea that Vigneault is playing for his job and, you know, or coaching for his job, excuse me. But there's nothing other than the contract extension that says, you know, he's in a very comfortable position. He hasn't done what the Rangers brought him here to do. He has to figure this out. Like Shayna said, he dropped opportunities and with two, you know, generational goaltenders with Luongo and Lundqvist. He's got to figure stuff out. I think that we are all kind of talking in pessimistic terms, but I think there's enough talent in this Rangers lineup where they can figure it out. And like Joe said, a lot of these games could have gone the other way, and that would take a lot of the sting out of, you know, a record of 1-3 to start the season. But there's a lot of reason for this October to carry a little more meaning than previous Octobers. And maybe this is, oh, we're just showcasing Holden to see what the hell we can get for a third line center. But I doubt it. You know, it seems very unlikely. What I would like to see the Rangers do, and by that I mean what I would like to see Vigneault do, is to trust the guys that are there who will be part of the answer. Nick Holden's not going to be an answer. Steven Kampfer on his best day is not going to be an answer come playoff time. That's Brandon Smith. And maybe with a couple months experience with the Rangers, that could be D'Angelo. You know, he's still very young, and young defensemen make mistakes and all that, but, you know, it's definitely an issue when he doesn't trust these players. So, yeah, I was sitting on a lot of that for a while, and the whole nitwit thing, but I'm all done now.
Pat, you had a thought before you needed to bounce.
Yeah, I have a small thought, just to build off of what Mike said about this being a particularly significant October for Alain Vigneault. So, as Mike alluded to, the Rangers have 10 home games in October, which is like pretty much a quarter of their home games. I think that really, to me, in like a subtle way, will heighten the, I mean, aside from the fact that Vigneault needs to figure it out for the whole host of reasons that Mike and Shayna got into, I think in at least a marginal way, the fact that they have 10 home games is going to raise the stakes a little bit, because that looks bad. If you lose like 7 of those, 8 of those, that's going to look really bad. You know?
Agreed.
And the media will pick up on that. The fans will pick up on that. You know, like, the players will certainly pick up on that. I mean, Kevin Shattenkirk didn't come here to get booed off the ice by the Garden. And, like, if they lose, like, 7 or 8 of those, I guarantee you that'll happen. I mean, dudes up in the blue seats were ready to turn on the team, like, opening night. People were complaining. I mean, it's crazy. And you got to believe that the media is going to, you know, pick up on that they lose however many home games. I mean, God willing, they win all the rest of their home games. I'd love it if they did, obviously. But I think that raises the stakes in a subtle way to make it, like Mike said, a very significant October for Alain Vigneault.
Yeah, I mean,
closing thought, I have to bounce. Thanks for having me on.
Pat, if you would like to follow Pat, which you should be doing, it is, well, do you care?
Oh yeah, you can go ahead.
It's KATPEE hockey. So go follow
that's
him.
My
Cappy
that's
Hockey.
My handle.
That's it right there.
Bye everybody.
See you, man. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye, Pat.
Yeah. And I will say that the media will 100% jump on that as a story once they realize that it's a story. I think Brooks is slowly turning on Vigneault, but no one else is. Every other member of the media waits until they know they're right and they can't be wrong, and then they jump ship, and that's just what it is. Well, I think we've said a lot of things today. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter is where you should go to donate money to us. And if you do that, you'll get your name read live on the radio. Anthony Viola, John J. Porter, Eric Cohn, Alexander Ricard, Daniel DeGem, Matt Bader, George Lippman, Guy from Montana, Andrew Grigo, John Reppy, Stink Fleeman, Trevor Kempner, Dan Carozzi, Arch Williams, Bob Kawa, Alexander Thornton, Igor Zatlovsky, Thomas Osa, and Michael Silvers. Thank you all for donating. You guys are heroes. The rest of you are not heroes, but you should be. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtbanter.
That's not true.
We have to force them into
like
this, Michael.
Michael Silver sounds like the name of a really good weatherman.
What?
Maybe he is. Maybe he is a weatherman.
You know,
he's
like,
not, but he
you know,
is
like
a,
Sam
he's a sports
Champion.
Broadcaster.
You know, like Sam Champion? Oh, that's a great name for a sports broadcaster.
Sam Champion is like perfect for sports, yeah. He went into the wrong
How
profession.
Great is that? Yeah.
So yeah, you can follow Shayna at Hey Shay 3 Y's.
Can you edit it, Shayna, to add more Y's to it? So Joe has to do that.
I really should. Like if I changed it, I probably would forget how many Y's and screwed up. But like at least I know it's 3 and 3.
Yeah,
I've
three
tried
and three.
To
it's simple.
It just doesn't, I'll forget.
It's simple. You can also buy her
it
scarves
looks like a high schooler's.
At So Not. It's So Not, right?
So In Not.
So In Not.
Because it was like, you know, like the bracelets are, they're all little knots, every stitch in a bracelet. So it's like you're sewing, but it's a bunch of knots. I thought it was clever, right?
I didn't say anything bad about it. And
it's not a great name.
Even if I thought something bad, I wouldn't say it because you scared the shit
name.
Out of me today.
I did not do anything scary.
If that's what you would like me to
thought.
Believe, then that is what I will believe. Just so that
I have
you
a lot
me.
Of opinions. I won't.
Yell at us.
Michael Murphy, Big
okay.
BSB.
And Joe stole my BSB thing.
I did.
Garbage.
That's a good
human
point,
garbage.
Actually.
Oh, wait.
Go to
and I gotta mention, you have to follow Mike's stuff at Sporting News. All the women's hockey stuff he's writing. Can't forget that.
Oh, thank you, Shayna.
You're welcome.
No, thank you to Joe, who didn't bring it up, but thank you, Shayna.
What did you say to me, son of a bitch?
heard what I said.
Yeah, go follow the Hub. Twitter.com/blueshirtbanter is not me anymore. It's the Hub. So
yeah, we all take turns.
We all take turns. I haven't taken a turn yet, but we all take turns.
Neither have I.
Because I'm a terrible person.
I'm a freeloader.
Shayna, Beth, Tom, it was really good. They were all really good. Yeah, I'm Joe Fortunato, BSB. Fortunato, as in Oreo. Because when I say that to people, they think I'm saying L, and it pisses me off. It is not an L. It doesn't even sound like an L. It's an O. BSB. And
I miss Dominic
Moore. We stayed
Moore.
On track. We stayed
I miss
on
Dominic
track.
Moore, too. I think Dominic Moore was a hell of a guy and a hell of a... Yep. Like, when he scored against the Rangers, I'm not even mad. Dominic Moore is legitimately one of the best people, period, and one of the best people in hockey. No question.
Yeah. I was really
upset that we
lost him.
Scoring goals for Toronto.
Yeah, well, everybody's scoring
goals.
And he
doesn't even have a confirmed role there. They're flipping him with Eric Fair. Good for him, like, earning his place.
Goddamn right.
Folks, nice things do happen to good people.
Yeah.
As they should.
Except if you're Filip Hedl.
Or Brendan Smith.
I thought you were going to say Filipino. I was like, where is that coming from?
Wow.
I know. I was surprised. Is our friend Darwin, he was from the Philippines, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, we were so wrong about Heedle, though. Remember, like, last time or time before that, we're like, if you're going to go anywhere, just don't go to Hartford. Like, there's no point if you're a defenseman. He's in Hartford. We were very
wrong. It's the best place for him right now, honestly.
Yeah, because
not the Philippines.
I didn't realize
Hartford.
It wouldn't burn the games until like we talked about that. I think
I
like,
I didn't know either. It had to be told to me. So, as usual, I'm
I think
terrible.
the best place for him is in the loving embrace of his mother. That's what I think.
Because he's young.
Well,
and
it's
innocent?
About time we hit the dusty trail.
Because he's very young and he's been heartbroken.
Tell Zuccarello, don't let Zuccarello be his friend or he'll never have a place on this team.
Well, no, if Zuccarello's his friend,
God,
he's getting traded. So.
I was going to say, let Zuc be his friend. That'll make him happy. And I'm like, wait.
Nope.
Can't allow that.
Zuccarello gets no friends. Maybe
except
we should make
Hank,
Stephen Camper his friend.
Ooh.
Or Holden. Or AV.
No,
him and AV need to become friends. Vigneault, become friends with your player. You hear me?
I should get my mom a jersey. I swear, every player I've gotten her like is no longer Hagelin, Callahan. I forget who else. I would get her jerseys. And when Brendan Smith signed his extension, because she wanted Buchnevich, and I said you can't have him, she was like, okay, I want a Shea one. I'm like, no, they don't have long term deals. No. When Smith extended, she was like, I'm buying a Smith jersey. So I was like, you know what? By all means, buy the Smith jersey. And this happened, and I'm like, this is not fair. I kept threatening to get her a Girardi jersey last year. I'm like, get a Girardi jersey. He'll leave the team. Get
mother,
a Girardi jersey. Now she got
that she's
Smith.
Cursed is what it is.
She is. I'm like, you can have the retired players. The rest are mine, and you can borrow mine on occasion, but you can't get them yourself.
My infamous line, Brittany wanted a jersey, and she had gotten a Girardi jersey because he wore 23, and that was her number in lacrosse. So she wanted another jersey, and I was like, oh, get a Callahan jersey. He'll never get traded, and then he got traded that year. So she has not gotten
another
jersey.
Yeah, I did the same
since,
thing.
And I don't think she's going to be allowed to. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. And, talk to you later.
Bye.
Horses.
Beth is a whale.